Okay, good. So the Rosh, Aleph Mem Beis, so two very important hiaros that he has, that what's the lechatchila, l'shitas harash, be very careful here.
To learn definitely first, but not forever. I mean, there's this like in between.
Again, v'chulamodu de'im iav shalalomod. If it's impossible for the person to learn married, so then he should learn and then get married. What does that imply?
He should get married first.
Oh, so that there's really a machlokes between the Riyah Zaken and the Rosh. It could. That is really true. That is a fascinating shita. And he seems to support it with the idea, because otherwise, he says, if you do it the other way, what's his implicit criticism of that approach?
How do you know when to stop?
Kitzva lo sodavar lo shamanu. Now the interesting thing is maybe there is a kitzva. Maybe we just read a Gemara with a kitzva. 14, 16, 20, you know. But the Rosh is skeptical and he says it can't be that Ben Azai is projecting out as a norm. That's certainly some kind of an outer boundary position. Right? You read the Gemara in Yevamos and the Chachamim are, you know, mystified by Ben Azai's conduct, especially in light of his, you know, drashos. So the Rosh stakes out a position. Now we're really, you know, in a fascinating zone, because as we would expect, you know, it turns out, you know, that there's really a very robust machlokes going on here. We at least have the Riyah Zaken and the Rosh on the record in terms of privileging one over the other, from a chronological standpoint. Okay, so that brings us, of course, to Shitas HaRambam. And as is always the case, you know, the Rambam becomes, you know, the dominant, I would say, it's not always the case that he becomes a dominant figure in the Sugya, but as is so often the case, he becomes a dominant figure in the Sugya moving forward. So let's take a look at Shitas HaRambam. Oh, so as I've said from this pulpit many times, especially in the open houses, I told all your parents when you were yet in middle school, you know, that that's the raya. I would always bring them a raya that the goal of Limud HaTorah is to engage both the das and the lev. So what does Rambam say here? Right? He says the problem with getting married before, you know, learning Torah is you had a lot of things on your mind, by definition. In daito pnu yolomot. But, you know, for some people, and this is the Tosfos Riyah Zaken, Ezra, you know, our conversation from yesterday, the Rambam doesn't bring up any geographical boundaries or halomdim bimakoman or chutzimakoman. He just boils it down to, you know, Yitzro Misgaber alav, right? A person who's emotionally unavailable for limud haTorah in libo, you know, panoi. So then you'd have to reverse it. So clearly the Rambam is projecting the lechatchila nachi is what? Right. Le'olam yilmod adam Torah ve'achar kach yisa isha. Le'olam. Le'olam means le'olam, right? That's the norm. But the norm has to be subject to, you know, some discretion, because if a person, you know, has less on their mind in terms of, you know, errands to do and chores, but they're emotionally unavailable because they suffer from what's termed internal distraction, here, Hure Avera, right? They're not going to be able to focus on what's happening. En libo pano yisa ve'achar kach yomod Torah. So the Rambam is obviously projecting a very different scheme than the Rosh. It'll be interesting to see what the Torah does with this, right? The Torah has enormous respect for the Rambam. He has enormous respect for his father. You know, what to do. But we'll get there in just a little bit. But what's really fascinating is the Hemshech of the Rambam, Kol Ishmi Yisrael. Bein Shai Yezakin Gadol Shetashafel. It's a little misleading. Yeah, sorry. So this isn't the Keser Torah. This is just the sort of the baseline. Chiyav Agisa B'Yomam V'Laila. So Rama says, you know, everybody's mechuyav in Talmud Torah. The young and the old, the rich and the poor. You know, it's a pervasive, universal obligation. The healthy and the infirmed. You know, even he who's so indigent that he has to, you know, scrounge around, you know, searching, you know, for living off the dole. And then, you know, the Rambam wants to really hammer the point home. So Emmanuel, who does he say? And you know who also still has to learn Torah despite, you know, his, you know, great challenges? This is after the Rambam discusses somebody who's physically sick or, you know, of extreme old age. Or somebody who's, you know, impoverished. So who does the Rambam see as, like, you know, fighting the most uphill battle? Yes. Afilu bal isha ubanim. That's the Rechayim b'tzavar over Yasok b'Torah. The man knows what he's up against. How many baths he has to set, how many vitamins he has to give, how many teeth he has to brush, how many diapers he has to change, how many beds he has to make. And that's all assuming that there won't be a resistance, let alone an insurgency. You know. There's a humbling truth, you know, that lies deep in these words. And the Rambam knows it. That's all I used to say. You know, that... I'm not saying that it would have been Rabbi Kiva Eger if it wouldn't have been for family obligations. Classic humility. But says, the truth is that you do pay a price for involvement in family life. There's no doubt about it in terms of, you know, the time commitment that requires. But it's a price you should be willing to pay, and you should be grateful to pay and thank God every morning that you have to pay it. That's how he put it. But it's a reality, and the Rambam is not denying that in a very pragmatic way, especially at certain stages in life, like the one I just described, you know, it is a very, very real thing that, you know, sometimes you look up and you say, Torah Mata Heyalecha, you know, and it can be, you know, mentally and physically and emotionally demoralizing. You know, so at some times, I don't mean, you know, obviously from a conceptual standpoint, you recognize the importance of it. And I'm not saying you feel this way all the time, but, you know, any normal person will sometimes, you know, feel that, you know, Torah Mata Heyalecha. And that's part of what the Rambam is projecting here in terms of Afilu Ba'al Isha Ubanim. The Rechaim B'Tzavar of Yasok B'Torah, because specifically, not despite the fact, right, but because you take it seriously and you're not going to do some kind of a nonsense of Ayim Karis HaYelad Bezona. But, you know, you feel that, and you feel that tension. You know, and sometimes your children will be the ones to give you chizuk, you know, like, for them, more than one occasion from my daughter. Daddy, don't cry. You'll be able to learn later. But, you know, that's actually crying, but, you know, sometimes you could, you know, see it on the person's face. You know, it is a reality. So the Rambam's saying, look, you want to be learning Torah, and you want to learn Torah with an immersive way, because there are going to be a lot of things on your mind. Ain daito pnu yolomo. Not because you're doing anything wrong. That's an objective fact. That is an objective fact, that you'll be forced to multitask. And we all know that only women can multitask anyway. So, you know, it just means that you'll be distracted. Okay, so that's the Rambam's idea, and it's against the Rush, but it's with the Tosfos V'Hazaken. Yeah. So, the tour, you can just anticipate what an interesting spot this is. Somewhere between the Rambam and the Rush. Okay, so now let's take a look at the tour.
Ooh, I mean, whatever tour of that.
So who's that?
Rambam.
So Rambam bats lead off. Okay, so what does the Torah do effectively? Right, he punts. Just puts them down, right? It's like the sugya of, you know, Kvod Avi v'Chvod Imo, and, you know, let's say they're no longer married to each other, they never were married to each other, you just put the water down and you walk away. Right, so the Torah just puts the Rambam down, puts the Rush down, and he backs away from the sugya, you know. So you can sort of detect therein a little bit of a sibbut. That's what the Bach tries to argue. Who saw the Bach? So Chanan, what does the Bach end up saying about the tour? That really...
It's only for Nafshah Torah.
Well, before he gets there, but what does he think the tour is up to here? Ezra, go ahead.
That he's only quoting, like, the first lesson of the Brisa that...
So really, what's the tour doing? The tour really agrees with...
With the Rambam?
Yes. So he really agrees with the Rambam. Right, he's doing it in an extremely subtle and respectful way, but La'olam tells you La'olam, right? That's, you know, he's using that language of the Rambam. He's starting off in this way, and he thinks that the tour really is machriya like the Rambam against his father. Okay, so let's take a look at that Bach. The Bach has a great, you know, if you know the sugya well, you just appreciate the poetry of the Bach. La'olam yomer adam tar bach yisa isha. What do you mean la'olam? La'olam means always. It means in all circumstances. So what is this, you know, efshar lo efshar? V'yesh liyashiv, he says, this is what it really means. Okay, so Rashi has his chaluk, and you know, what's good for the goose is good for the ender. So Rabbeinu Tam has his chaluk also. Oh, so he says, as opposed to those, you know, who are mechalik between learning b'mekoman and chutz b'mekoman, right? The tour, like the Rambam, wanted to go with la'olam, and basically say, I don't care whether you're learning at home. Ezra, this is exactly why your question was so apt. Yes, it was amazing. It was like four words, but you really put your finger on the issue, right? The Rambam is like, you know, whatever the Tosfos V'Hazaken was suggesting, he's breaking us out of all geographical boundaries. La'olam. The only possible caveat would be, you know, im yitzro misgaber love. If you're effectively not able to learn Torah before Nisuin, because, you know, ein libo panoi, you have that emotional internal distraction. Oh. So that's really what the Torah is doing. He's endorsing the Rambam. L'chach pasuk rabbeinu kistam et debrais of Yomar. This should be Perek Aleph, really, right?
The Lomdim Chutzim Koman, the Kamelon Kistama, the Brisa, the Lomachalik, Elabin Epshar, Lu Epshar.
Right, so he says this is really an important moment in the sugya because the Torah is machriya against his father, like the Rambam. So then you find that in the Shulchan Aruch as well. So then what lines up is that, interestingly, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, you put them into a basket, right? Because they're ultimately being mechalik between those who are lomdim b'mekoma and chutzim mekoma, and then you have the purists. The purists are the Rush in one direction, you know, who says Yisha Yisha v'achrakach yilmo Torah, sort of like what I call the limo Torah b'tara kind of an idea. And then you have the Riyazakein and the Rambam and the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch on the other side who are saying, no, yilmo Torah v'achrakach Yisha Yisha. True, you have to deal with the Rush's critique. It's a real critique, which is kitzva lo salim lo yadana, right? Which is like, when do you draw the line? I told you the mirror Bachrim, not you know, the current mirror, the real mirror, you know, Lithuania, you know, they would get married at 40. You know, that was the minog, because, you know, kids follow sodavar leyadana, they wanted to have a tefisa, and they took the Rambam pretty seriously in terms of, you know, ain daito penu yalil mod, so you might as well know as much as possible, and, you know, they were, you know, that was their mentality. In fact, in my day in YU, there was a Rosh Yeshiva who was already of extreme old age. I think he was in his late 90s in my time in Yeshiva, Gershon Yankelowitz, who was in Shanghai with the mirror. You know, he real mirror, during the war. He got married at 40. You know, by the point that, you know, I was around, Rosenzweig used to drive him back and forth. He lived in Queens. By the time I got to yeshiva, he'd already been married for about 60 years, but that's because he was about 100. You know, but he still came and he gave shir every day. He's like two guys in a shir, but he came and gave shir every day. But, you know, that was the older generation. It was an amazing thing. So the critique of the Rush notwithstanding, everybody's going to have to figure out when to say when, but the point is that Yom HaTorah V'Achrakach Yisa Isha. Now, what about within the Sheet of the Rush, which the Bach thinks that the Torah is actually rejecting, the Sheet of his father? He's doing it in as respectful way as possible. V'chasav Adoni Avi HaRush Zal, Chulam Orai. Yochanan ben Zakkai. This is the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Kaf Ches, which discusses the acumen of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, where he was erudite in all areas. Right, so it's interesting that the Bach says that it must be that, you know, we rely on things like sociological factors, you know, anshei doro. We pointed out yesterday already that, you know, things have become, I think, in a very unhealthy way, accelerated today, you know, where people are really in quite a rush. Tarte mashma, you know, but the point is that maybe that is going to factor in muta l'fiyanshe doro, but also l'fimashi rochalibo. Like if a person is really able, you know, to do more, they should do more in terms of limud haTorah. But anyway, the Rush was projecting this idea that yisei yisha v'achar kach yilmo Torah, kind of like Shmuel. He was on the other side of this coin. I think this is maybe the Rush a little bit l'shitaso. The Rush, you know, comments on the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yud, where the Gemara is talking about the balance, Machlokas Reb Yirmiya, Reb Zeira, and who is it, Nachi, with Reb Hamnuna? Who's Reb Hamnuna talking to? It's Reb Yirmiya and Reb Zeira and Reb Hamnuna and somebody in the Gemara. Anybody have a Shimshi, have a Shabbos Yud in front of you? Isn't there a Gemara there? Don't they have the Gemara there? Okay, just bring me the Gemara. I can't remember. But looked it up before, but the Gemara talks about there basically, you know, how do we balance limud haTorah and tefillah? And the Gemara says that Meisir Asra quotes a pasuk, Reb Yirmiya and Reb Zeira were learning, and then Reb Yirmiya is Misarhev, he wants to get up and go daven, and you know, then you know, Reb Zera says to Mezer Asna Bishmoa Torah Gam Tfilaso Toeva, like, why are you privileging Limud Torah? Why are you privileging Chai Shah over Chai Olam? And the Rosh says, yeah, that was then, but this is now, and you know, we have to strike a balance, and we should daven Bitzibur. Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't. Rabbeinu Yonah says, a person Tarasum Nusa, let him daven Biachidas. Don't waste his time, you know, having to go to the minyan and listening to the rabbi between Mincha and Maariv, you know, just let him learn. You know, so, okay, yeah. Let's read the Gemara.
Yeah, I found out. It's
Rabbi Yirmiyahu and Rabbi Zera. Right, Rabbi Yirmiyahu and Rabbi Zera, then it's Rav Huna is talking to who? Yeah, just read it from Rabbi Yirmiyahu and Rabbi Zera. It's fine.
Rabbi Yirmiyahu and Rabbi Zera,
so Rabbi Yirmiyahu starts to, like, you know, get antsy. He wants to go daven. It's time for mincha. Meisir osno bishmoa Torah. Gam tfilaso toeva. So Rabbi Zera got really upset at him.
So then it goes on to Meisir eschodin. Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Yonah, Adam, or Atfu. Then Mechadam, Rabbi Shiyis, Yiftuchu, Bali Dinim.
Go a little bit above. A little bit above that. Before you get to Rabbi Yirmiyahu and Rabbi Zera. Did you have Rav Hamnuna there or something?
Fine. Yeah,
see it.
So
Rava it is?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so he's upset, right? He says to him, what are you doing? Right? He's davening such a long Shmon Esrei. This kind of is Chayisha. You know, what are you so worried about your, you know, Parnasa for? You know, we want you to be focused on Chai Olam. He thought, okay, it's Man Torah L'chod, it's Man Tfilah L'chod. So anyway, the Rosh comes down very much on the side of balance. He thinks, you know, for us, what we want to do is we want to learn, but we should have two libet sibur. So you have that impression from the Rosh here too, that, you know, this isn't like, you know, he says, get married, you learn Torah. He's not into this kind of extremism. So I think it could be a Rosh L'shita. So, and then he concludes, v'nir d'chozeh eino l'yachid. So the Bach says, you know, according to the Shita of the Rosh, you know, it must be when we talk about, you know, Kitzvaloso Davar Lo Yadanu, well, who said we don't know? Isn't there a Gemara that talks about this? That a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev Mitzapa until 20. So 20 must be the outer boundary. Right, and at that point, the Kaddish Baruch Hu says, "You know, Tipeach Hatzmosa, this guy's never going to commit. You know, he's, you know, always going to be sitting on the fence over there." So he says, "This must only be relevant for people who are really, really serious about their learning, and the reason that they want to delay is because, you know, they're really, really concerned about the impact it's going to have about their learning. But if you're not in that category, then you'd have no excuse to delay, because it's not like Osik B'mitzvah Patur Mina Mitzvah to borrow from the Rambam. Right? You're not. What mitzvah are you involved in?" So a person is, you know, sitting around at 22, you know, with the, you know, we're playing Wordle, then you got a real problem on your hands. Okay? Okay. So the Mechaber, you know, as indicated. Okay, so the lineage, of course, of the Rambam, the Tur, the Riyaz Zaken, against the Rosh. But, you know, in an absolutely textbook fashion, the Gaon strikes back, right? He's not afraid of anybody. So he says, oh, so, you know, la'olam, you know, yom adam torah v'achach yisa isha, right? The Rambam spoke about him in Daito Pnuyo Lomar, but he says that the Gaon is medayik in the Shulchan Aruch. Since the Shulchan Aruch put it back in terms of rechayim b'tzavaro, he says, let's say it's not such a rechayim b'tzavaro. Let's say you've got somebody bankrolling you, right? You married, you know, the daughter of, Baron Rothschild or something like that. So, you know, you're not worried. So the Gaon then thinks, actually, then the balance of power flips back to the Rosh. How about that? I'm not so sure that the Rambam would agree. Because the Rambam didn't the Rambam may have digested it from, you know, that Gemara, but the Rambam never said, Rechaim b'tzavara v'yasok b'torah, even though it's clear that the Rambam knew that, right? Afilu ba'alisha ubanim. The Rambam quoted the first language of the Braisa, La'olam yomar adam torah v'achach yiseisha. He was staying out of the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel. So the Gaon, you know, is putting a stake through the sugya and saying, no, I actually think that it's really a pragmatic issue. It's about the toreach mezonos that comes with, you know, isha ubanim. And if you don't have to worry about that because, you know, you've got a situation, let's say, like what we posited for Shemitah v'Yovel. You're so exceptional, you're kodesh kadashim, that, you know, somebody's supporting you because, you know, so then why not? Right? And so that would flip back to the Rosh. Okay. So now we get to the point of Ben Azai, what I call, like, you know, the third possibility, the Kasuv HaShlishi. It's not Yilmo Torah V'achachach Yiseisha, Yiseisha V'achachach Yilmo Torah, right? This is now breaking beyond the 40-yard lines. Rabbi Azai wants to take it to the house, and he thinks, apparently, something totally different. A totally different Mahalich in terms of, you know, balancing, or not balancing, as it were, these two halachic imperatives. Okay, go ahead, Nachi. Yishafech. So the question is, you know, is Bittel Perev Yeruvia a sin against man or a sin against God? So the first two deos in the Gemara say, you know, either or. Either it's Mimayit Bittimus, because you're not bringing Tzelem Elokim into this world, or it's like Shvichos Damim. So, you know, Ben Azai says both. Okay, he's the harshest. I mean, the conjunctive, right? Ve'atem peruvu. After shofech dam adam, badam dam yishofech, chibet salam lokim asas adam, ve'atem peruvu. So the peruvu is, you know, modifying everything that came before it. Okay. So taking us back all the way to our first, you know, Erev Shabbos, you know, Shir in terms of Perev Yeruvia. So as we said at the time, there are really two different ways of understanding Shitas Ben Azai. Either Ben Azai is saying guilty is charged. I'm not claiming that this is, you know, sort of a halachic position, but I'm kind of anos al pi hadibur, as it were. You know, I could not be any other way. Ma'aseh shenafshi chashka b'Torah. I'm a different sort, you know, almost like istinis ani. Like, I just can't manage this. Nafshi chashka b'Torah. And so, you know, you could throw me into a marriage. Actually, Ben Azai at one point, interestingly, was engaged to Rabbi Kiva's daughter. So didn't go through with it. You know, it's just not going to work out because I'm just not able to do both. I'm not projecting this as any kind of a norm. You know, ma'es anafshi chashka b'Torah. Frankly, the language sounds a little bit that way, right? Ma'es, what do you want from me? Right? Nafshi chashka b'Torah, afshalolam, she's kaim l'idei acherim. And, you know, this is a really important point in life, guys, right? Because he's not, you know, it's very easy to rationalize. When people don't do something or can't do something, right, they tend to minimize its importance. Like, you know, cheating's not so bad. You know, your cheaters will say such a thing, right? Right? It actually takes a certain degree of integrity to be, quote-unquote, a hypocrite. What I mean by that is, Ben Azai, what he's saying is, Perei Yeruvia is really important. And just because maybe I'm not able to do it doesn't mean that it's any less important. Right? That's an extreme degree of intellectual honesty. For a person to say, something that might be beyond my reach is still really important. And, you know, other people are going to have to pick up the slack. But I see this as a real chisaron. But a chisaron it is. I have to deal with reality. So that's one way of understanding Ben Azai. The other way to understand Ben Azai is that he's actually projecting, certainly not for everybody, but for at least himself and maybe other people in his position, right, that there is some kind of an alternative. And that that is, you know, what we call like, you know, a marriage to the Torah. And that seems to be, you know, the way that the Rambam took it. And that was our diuk, and we'll revisit that Rambam now. Hilchosishas Perek Tesvav. Okay, so let's take a look at the Rambam. So the age of 20 is not unfamiliar to us, right? Okay, so that's, you know, within what we call like the normal frame of individuals. Osik mitzvah patur mina mitzvah. So since you're so immersed in Torah and you have a reasonable concern that you're simply not going to be able to sustain this level of commitment to Torah, so the Rambam says about this, you know, mutar li'sacher. And the truth is that the Rambam never defines, you know, how much longer, 21, 22, 23, 27, 20. The Aruch HaShulchan notes that point and says, you know, it's probably a very personal thing. You know, and the Bach already kind of foreshadowed that, right? The Fi Rochav Sheish Balipo, which is an expression that appears in the Rambam already in Hilchos Talmud Torah. All right, now the Rambam pivots to Ben Azai. Oh, okay, so just to revisit, you know, the Mahalich that we maintain in the Rambam, the critical word in the Rambam, of course, being vidavak ba, that's the Rambam echoing Shemshi, which pasuk, clearly? Vidavak be'ishto, right? So this can be a viable alternative. The Rambam's not endorsing it necessarily, but you can't say that this person is living sinfully, right? Aliba the Gemara in Kiddushin, Chav Tes Amid Beis, you know, Avera Kol Yamav, Avera Sal Kedaitach, you know, the Gemara says, here Hurei Avera. So the Rambam seems to paskin that Gemara and say, okay, as long as a person is not, you know, living Behir Hurei Avera, you know, so it's an acceptable thing. Ein biyado avon. I don't think the Rambam is thrilled about it, but he sees it as halachically justifiable. I don't think it's a lechatchila. I'm not sure it's entirely a bidyaved. Ein biyado avon. It's kind of a neutral thing. Yeah. Okay. So I just wanted to conclude by taking a look at the Mechaber, holding off for a moment on the Ramah, see what the Mechaber does with this. And I think the Ramah is a great place to finish off because it begins to point really in the direction that I want to go. Okay, so Chayav Kol Adam. Wow. Okay, so this is the Ben Azai Plus version, right? He goes all the way, the Mechaber does. Let's skip over the Ramah, we'll come back to it. Once I already quoted his drasha, I should give him a little bit of credit, right? Right. So again, not, you know, stating it as any kind of a desideratum, but like, if a person finds themselves in that position, it's a halachically viable approach. It's at least defensible. Ein biyado avon. The Ramah in the middle, you know, makes a very fascinating point. Okay, so the Ramah is responding subtly to a point in the Mechaber, where the Mechaber says a person, you know, who's not osik b'peri v'rivya, so it's very bad news. Goyim l'shchinah shetisalik miyisrael, and he's memayit hadmos, and it's kilu shofech damim, and all of these, you know, sort of negatives. But then the Ramah says, you know, but you can put it in much more positive terms, right? Because actually, you know, marriage itself, matzisha matzatov, v'yafik ratzon me'es Hashem, right? Nikra Adam. And I think most impressively, what little clause in the Ramah is going to be the most appealing to me, where the Ramah says, let's try to move away from... Right, okay, so spiritually, you know, enhancing. But even more... I like that line, but... Yaakov? Right. So the Ramah is suggesting that even though, and again, in a very pragmatic way, when it comes to, let's say, between the hours of 6 and 7:30, you know, you're going to be, you know, yaday miluchlachem medam shlol v'shilya, you know, you're going to be fighting the, you know, mechamos Hashem, you know, and outnumbered, you know, and you're going to be begging Western powers, you know, for, you know, munitions. As in, you know, calling in the mother-in-law or something for reinforcements. You know, but whatever it takes. The point is that, you know, in the end, the Ramah wants to say, it enhances the Torah. Now we'll have to get there, and there's a lot of work to do. We have a lot to think about tomorrow. But that in the end of the day, we shouldn't see these things as fundamentally in competition with each other. Pragmatically, they can be in competition with each other. Right, when you're in, you know, it's like, you know, mashlema davardova. When I'm, you know, learning with you guys, so I'm not, you know, I don't mean to pick on Daf Yomi, but I'm not giving Daf Yomi share. When I'm giving Daf Yomi share, I'm not learning with you guys. So in some, you know, pragmatic sense, right, like, you know, I can't be in two places at once. But nobody in their right mind would say somehow that those things are in competition with each other, right? All of the idios that we get, you know, doing... things like Daf Yomi and, you know, Shnai Mikra, that's ultimately what we bring to bear here, which is the real thing, you know, when we're trying to, you know, be Me'ayin and, you know, go as deep as we possibly can and go as far as we possibly can. Again, in the Yevshah, the base medrash, Bli Chiddush, right? So they're not in competition with each other. I mean, pragmatically speaking, you can't be in two places at once, right? But we all understand and appreciate that in the end, right, it's all good. They're all, you know, synergistic with each other. So that's what the Ramah is saying. Right below Torah, that in the end of the day, you know, having an isha is, you know, marchiv libo shel adam, and we'll talk about a lot of these images. But to the extent that there's some kind of a pragmatic conflict, it's only a pragmatic conflict, not a conceptual conflict, right? Nobody would say, again, barring from the Rambam and Deos Perikimel, that the person who's sleeping, you know, at 3 a.m., you know, that's really to the, you know, detriment of their limud haTorah. No, why are they sleeping? They're sleeping so that the next day, they'll be able to learn Torah well. So pragmatically, in a very narrow sense, you'd say he's sleeping and not learning Torah. But he's sleeping so he can learn Torah. And the goal that, you know, for tomorrow is to be able to see how, in both directions, both in terms of how learning enhances the Nisuin and how Nisuin enhances the Limud HaTorah, we're going to try to take things back to, like what we said, a much more synergistic kind of a perspective. Much more holistic kind of perspective, without denying, again, please don't take this from me as putting, you know, some kind of a Pollyannish spin on Afilu Baal Isha Ubanim. You know, the Rechaim Etzavaro thing can be real at times, and, you know, it can be sometimes, you know, a challenge and psychologically challenging because, you know, you know that, you know, that you're just, you know, you're outnumbered and there's a lot to do and miles to go before I see. But conceptually speaking, it shouldn't be perceived as a competitive relationship in terms of, you know, Yom HaTorah v'Yisayisha, and that's the synergistic perspective that the Ramah already very subtly projects in Eben Ezer Aleph, namely below Torah, you know, holds out great promise for us in terms of restoring like a much more collaborative kind of perspective on, you know, Yom HaTorah v'Yisa Isha, for all of the pragmatic, you know, competition that one might, you know, ascribe to those two enterprises. Okay, so we will pick it up there, God willing, tomorrow with the Aruch HaShulchan, and see if we can finish up the sugya tomorrow. Shkoach, guys. Nachi, very well done.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay, guys. Anybody who needs to make